Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
Sorry, man. I'm Heath. I'm Mark Whitman.
And we are still in the throes of night one of WrestleCade in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We have now moved from November the 27th to now into November the 28th.
106 in the AM.
In the AM of the year of our Lord 2015. And what we want to talk to you about on this episode of the Double Dropkick Show, which you can listen to at doubledropkick.com or iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app. Tell a friend, tell a wrestler, tell all your relatives, download us. What we want to talk about is November the 22nd, 2015, a day that will live forever. Survivor Series 2015, more importantly than that, the 25th anniversary of The Undertaker. Uh-huh. Let's set this up for you. 24 hours before the show.
Right.
Social media lights up. The dirt sheets light up. A terrorist threat. That a list, not a list released by the FBI, that Anonymous hacked ISIS and has found a list of targets, and Phillips Arena
is on that list.
Is on that list, even though there's a football game that day with four times as many people.
Yeah, but not on pay-per-view, I guess.
Not on pay-per-view. So, what was the first thing you thought when you saw that?
Should we go?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that was the first thought. You sent me a message and kind of showed me the link.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I guess I got to think about whether I want to go or not.
Because I think Drake and I were at, yeah, we were at the Clemson game, Clemson Wake Forest game. And right. I think my friend Josh, who was going to go with us, texted me or sent me a message. And that's when I checked online and saw it, and WWE was tweeting about it, Triple H was tweeting about it. And I think there was a moment where I thought that I wasn't going to take Drake.
Right.
But then you and I talked Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was very much, this was my chain of thought. It's just a rumor. They don't really have like a credible source, meaning a credible threat.
Right.
Meaning it's this many people at this time. And at that point in time, once they became aware of the threat and they're working with local, state, federal authorities, in my mind, that became one of the safest places to be.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way, but there's also this conspiracy theory nut that exists in my mind that thought, man, it's the most unsafe place to be.
I agree with that. I mean? Yes, that's a good way to think about it.
So there was that. But, I mean, ultimately, you and me talked about it, and it's how I feel. If we had not gone, then they won.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to allow them to win.
Right.
They're not going to scare me into doing the things that into not doing the things that I want to do in life.
And our wives,
not living that way.
Our wives did not want us to go.
No, mine very much told me, I don't think you should go. And I said the same thing I just said to you. If I don't go, they win.
Yeah, this is, I think I said it to you, I'm not a soldier. I'll never be a soldier. But there are people who are soldiers, men and women, who've sacrificed their lives. They've sacrificed their time. They've given of themselves to provide a blanket of protection, a blanket of freedom.
Right.
And me going to a wrestling show is so insignificant, but it's the least I could do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, at the end of the, I mean, it is true, and I don't want to oversell the fact because it is just a wrestling show.
Right.
But men and women have died.
Yeah.
So that we can have the right to go to that show.
Yes.
And to be a coward and not go.
Right.
It's just not something I was willing to do.
And I totally understand.
Now, am I a hero because I went and watched wrestling? No.
And I totally understand people that didn't go. But I'm going to tell you, there weren't a whole lot of people that didn't go. That place was packed.
Yeah, and it was so cool, because we'll just go ahead and roll on into it, to know that Vince McMahon and Triple H and Stephanie McMahon said, you know what, let's throw a middle finger up to those guys, and we'll start the pay-per-view with the national anthem.
Yeah, normally that's done in not live,
right,
on pay-per-view. And not only did somebody mentioned on Facebook that they asked, are they going to do any pyro tonight? Yeah. I think they did more pyro than they normally do.
Right. They kind
and
of
I'm going to tell you, if you have the WWE, I want to say this. I want to say this very often. And this is what I'm about to say, hyperbolic, to say the least.
Not from you.
I would challenge you, if you're an American wrestling fan, okay? I would challenge you right now to drop $9.99 to get a month subscription just to go watch that national anthem. Just to go watch Lillian Garcia and just the emotion of that, the pyro of that, the intensity of it. It was just awesome. And the whole night, like, I have been to Raws where, and you hear where they're cutting the budget, so not everybody's going to get, because everybody used to get pyro. Dude, that's like, oh, you got up to get a drink? Shoot some pyro.
Yeah, they kind of did.
It was great. For me, knowing Taker was going to be there, and when we bought the tickets, we didn't know what the card was going to be. Seth Rollins was still healthy.
Right.
And
so there was no – I mean, I kind of had a suspicion –
right,
that there would be something with Undertaker, just knowing what I know. Like, I knew that it was the 25th anniversary. I mean, I already knew that. So, I mean, I kind of felt like they're going to do something.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they, with him kind of being back in the fold? You'd think you have to acknowledge that.
So, I was really looking forward to experiencing that with you, experiencing that with my son. This was my son's first WWE show.
Right.
After going to Ring of Honor and TNA Bound for Glory, seeing this, and we had great seats, very happy with that, and I thought it was, I thought I got my money's worth as far as the show goes. I mean, I was entertained, had a good time.
It was a good show, man.
Had a good time.
I like being there with you and Drake.
The problem with the product, and definitely people that watch it on the network got a different vibe about the show than I did being there live.
I'll agree, because I wanted to kind of get to that at some point.
But one of the comments was very valid, that the pay-per-views just feel like a Raw now.
They do.
Because
you've already seen those matches so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was interesting, and I'll just kind of, because we're going to skip around.
Yeah.
That Reigns and Ambrose wrestled for like 9 minutes.
I don't even know if it was that long.
No, it was 9 minutes. It was a little over 9 minutes.
9 minutes. And they got done at about 20 till.
And then people were saying the next night, I guess Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, they had 4 minutes.
Yeah.
But they're only going to give 9 minutes to a world title match.
Right.
The culmination of a several week long
tournament.
Why are you surprised that they only gave 4 minutes to the girls?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's how they see them. They're just the girls.
Now, in all fairness, we're walking out of the Phillips Arena, and I said, Drake, what'd you think? And he said, I have never seen wrestling like that before. And I took that to mean the spectacle of it. And we talked about it, the circus aspect of it.
Uh-huh.
And And also, that's the furthest Drake's ever sat away from wrestling. That mug is spoiled. That mug.
Yeah, because we go to a lot of indie wrestling.
He helps take the ring apart.
Yeah.
I mean,
we go to so much indie wrestling, and you and he even go to a lot of indie wrestling when I can't go.
Yeah, and when we go, we get as close as we possibly can within reason.
Right.
Well, we're not paying $400 for front row seats at Raw.
No.
And then I said, what was your favorite match? And he said, the Divas match, Charlotte and Paige. And I said, why? He said, because I've never seen girls wrestle live.
Yeah.
What? Now, he said, I've never. I said, have you seen girls wrestle? And he had seen one female match in Spartanburg at Big Time Wrestling. And for him, that was something he hadn't seen before.
Right.
He wasn't saying that was the best match, but he remembered it.
That's true.
And they did put on a good match.
It definitely was not the best match.
No, and they put on a good match. I'm always intrigued by people who don't like the New Day online.
Yeah.
I feel like the live crowd and the internet wrestling community are so disconnected.
Oh, you think? The internet wrestling community is I don't know what to compare it to that ain't gonna piss somebody off, and that says a lot more about the world we live in now.
Yeah, it's
you
terrible.
Can compare it to, because whatever you say, you're gonna make somebody mad today.
Yeah.
But the internet wrestling community is a vocal minority.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say it, and they're loud and they talk really loud. But when
it's an echo chamber,
right? It is, and. But here's what I saw, because you say that about the New Day, but I'll say this about the New Day.
Yeah.
Their entrance got a great reaction.
Oh, yeah, dude. They were awesome.
But the match, everybody did like me and got up and went and got them a hot dog.
Right.
During the match.
Now, okay. Did they do that? Because at one point... was it one of the New Day guy eliminated, and they all three left?
No, there was people all out in the lobby before the match started.
Was that?
But
the...
maybe that's more of symptomatic of the fact that they didn't promote any of those matches.
This is very true. There were two 5-on-5 Survivor matches,
Survivor Series
matches
that didn't get any.
I mean, I'm a part of a group that participates in making picks for these matches.
Yeah.
And we didn't know who was going to be in those matches.
Right. What Facebook group is that?
Just a Facebook group of some friends, and we see who can make the most accurate picks.
Bunch of virgins.com.
You're a real sexual joke. You're so funny. Rusev crush. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, New Day was awesome. There was only one promo.
Their song, by the way.
There was only one promo at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And it was the New Day.
Right.
And if you, again.
Which surprised me, because I remember as the show was about to go on the air, I said, I'm guessing Stephanie and Triple H are going to come out and cut a promo, and we're going to sit here for 30 minutes and listen to that. And they didn't do it.
No, they didn't.
I was surprised. I was expecting that.
It was really good. If you haven't watched The Table for Three with the New Day.
Yeah, it's really
so good.
Really
it gives
well
you
done.
Such more of an appreciation for
I
the
really
gimmick,
like that.
For what they've made their gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, they took, I'll just call it what it is, a racial stereotype.
Right.
And turned it on its ear.
Yeah.
And really, they did. And I mean, they took, I don't know how to say it. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I don't mean it that way, but let's be as unstereotypical as we can and talk about unicorns and rainbows.
Dude, and Monday night on Raw. When they did the country music, they were in Nashville, and they did the country music thing, and they were singing a song, and that was fun, man. Very entertaining.
My understanding is that Kingston said that he didn't like country music, and that wasn't his character talking. That was him. He really didn't like country music.
Yeah, that was funny.
I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No.
Oh, well, I know you.
Why is it funny and cute that the wrestler on TV has to remind me that it's not his character, that he's playing a character. And it's not his character that feels that way. It's him that feels that way.
Because I feel like...
No, you cannot justify it to me that it's okay to say that. That would be like...
Well, okay. It'd be like you... I understand. I
like
understand.
Tom Cruise in the middle of Mission... Just, when he was flying up on the airplane in Mission Impossible, the newest one.
Uh-huh.
And he was hanging off the side of the airplane. If he turned and looked at the camera and said, you know, look, this is really not Tom Cruise doing this. This is Ethan Hunt doing this.
No, it would have been like, hey, I'm really Tom Cruise.
Well, right. I mean, but you know what I mean.
And what's funny is he really was doing that.
Yeah, he really.
That's
he really allegedly did that. I don't know.
But.
I guess it's bringing
When he
that.
Did it, I thought it was funny.
I'm sure you did.
But that's the difference. That's one difference between. Like,
yeah, you'll always be more of a fan of Adam Cole, baby, than me. For stuff like that, I mean, you just will. You'll always be more of a fan of that stuff, and I'll always be more of a fan of
snot bubble
wrestling. Yeah,
I'm a sports entertainment guy.
Yes, you are. As much as you have over the years told people, "Oh, Mark's a WWF guy, and I'm a Mid-Atlantic guy." The truth of the matter is, if you really look at it.
Oh, my gosh.
You are a guy who loves the entertainment aspect of it, and I'm a guy who loves the physicality of it.
Man.
Right?
You're right.
Yeah, I know I'm right.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, I mean, you'll always be a guy who likes the sports entertainment stuff, and I'll always be a guy that doesn't. And you have always, since we started this show, said that it was the opposite, and it's not true.
No. I didn't mean, when I said you're a WWF guy, I didn't mean the sports and entertainment. I meant that you had more knowledge.
Oh, well, everybody knows I got more knowledge than you about it, because I actually have watched it.
Yeah, that's because I grew up poor in South Carolina. Oh, I had an outhouse. I did not watch WWF.
Of course you did.
Until Saturday night's main event came on.
Yeah, that's it. That's the first time.
Yeah, the first Saturday night's main event is the first Hulk Hogan match I ever saw.
Huh.
That's the first time I saw Hulk Hogan on TV.
Right.
And I thought, you know what I thought? Why are they wrestling so late?
I can see you thinking that.
And it's still real to me. So, let's get right to it.
Okay, let's get to it.
We went to Survivor Series to see The Undertaker.
That's it. That's the, like, if you had turned to me after that Undertaker match was over with and said, "Are you ready to go home?" I'd have said yes.
Well, it was the second to last match.
But still, I would have left before the main event. And you're saying, would he really have? Yes,
yeah,
I really would have. Because I don't care about the other stuff. I don't watch Raw.
So
I watch that just to see The Undertaker.
So Wyatt's come out. What a great entrance.
Yeah, the Wyatts have a pretty decent entrance.
And then Kane comes out, the fire. But you knew...
That with it being the 25th anniversary, that they were going to do something a little different.
And if you didn't watch it,
the cool thing is you're in the arena, and like we knew that he was coming out.
Yeah.
Before the TV audience.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Because they started setting all the stuff up, and it became this deal where everybody started clapping.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knew what was fixing to happen, and it just created this anticipation in the crowd.
Because they set up they hung two Undertaker symbols on both sides of the entrance. They hung this huge coffin.
Yeah.
This huge open casket that we couldn't really tell what it was. And then they had these two things under the symbols, which I was like, is that mirrors? What is that going to do?
And then what is that going to do?
And then the
your jello pudding.
Oh, the pudding pops.
What is that skibbity
doop doo?
What is that going to do?
So the lights go down. And the gong hits. What's going through Mark Whitten's mind?
Honestly, it's not much more than I've waited a long time to see The Undertaker live.
Yeah.
There was a guy sitting in front of us that freaked out, and that's what I was doing inside. But yeah. I'm cool enough that it didn't come out.
Yeah.
And that's the bet. Like, you had to have been there to see him. Like, there was a spot when Undertaker started climbing up the ropes.
Yeah.
Backwards. And he's going to do the walk across. And the guy, like, went, ooh, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to squeal, but eek. You know what I mean? He kind of did that. And
he popped up out of his seat at one point.
Yeah, he come up out of his seat. And all of the stuff that he was doing is what was going on inside me. But I'm cool enough that I didn't let it.
So he says.
Did you see me do any of that crap?
I did.
Like when we were at WrestleCade tonight and you were going, when the wolves
I got
came
caught
out,
up in the moment.
And you were howling and stuff. Like, you never seen, when have you ever seen me do that kind of stuff?
It's because you're Cool Hand Luke.
No, I'm just cooler than you.
Oh, my goodness. All right, back to the man who is cool, The Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
So
that's kind of what was going on, I think, in my mind. Like, whatever that guy was doing physically, that's what was going on inside of me. I was ecstatic about seeing one of my top two or three favorite wrestlers of all time.
So let me, if you've never been to a WWE live show, and this probably wouldn't be true of Raw anymore, but it was true of Survivor Series, and it may have been because of the terrorist threat. You are seeing Hollywood level special effects.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, you are seeing the cream of the crop. I mean, they are one of the biggest touring companies.
Let's not oversell the level of special effects that we're seeing when we go see a WWE show.
I'm talking about at Survivor Series.
What I love about you is, and I told you this earlier, that whatever we have just recently done is always the greatest thing that's ever happened.
What I'm trying to say.
Like, we saw Survivor Series,
watching,
and it was like the greatest thing you'd ever seen.
It was not the greatest
thing. And then we
thing.
Saw the WrestleCade show earlier, and it was the greatest independent show you've ever been to.
It was not the
greatest. Everything with you is the greatest of all time, like right after you see it.
No.
Right or wrong?
I believe that you are stealing my gimmick and you're being hyperbolic.
You think so? Well, that's what we do.
So the gong hits and the fire comes down and lights those two Undertaker symbols. And then you realize the things underneath are to catch the fire that's dripping down from it. And so these two things are hanging, they're on fire. And there's fire dripping down from it. Yeah. And then inside the casket, a video starts playing.
Right.
And it's just cycling through all the faces of the Undertaker.
Right.
And then this man just takes his time.
Oh, he just steps out. And he come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Even, like, I went back and watched it the next day on the network. And he still came out of nowhere.
Really?
On TV. Just like there was this fog, and then there he was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm guessing he rose up through the floor. That's all I can assume.
There is no subfloor there. That's the floor.
Well, I'm just telling you.
I'm telling you, he's got mystical powers.
I think him and David Blaine are somewhere having a beer tonight.
Not at the Marriott.
No, because we drank them all. No, we didn't. But I did.
So Undertaker comes to the ring, and he's so methodical in his entrance. And he gets
and
in there.
And he's got that entrance timed so well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
I mean,
does.
Every musical
what a pro.
Cue. I mean, just he hits them perfectly every time.
From
the taking off the hat to the rolling the eyes to the raising the hands and making the lights come on to even when the match is over and walking up the aisle and stopping and turning around and looking back and raising his hand in the air. Like, all of that, I mean, that was it for me, man. Yeah. Like, that was something that I can check off a list.
Everything
of something I've always wanted to see live.
Everything you wanted to see The Undertaker do in that match, he did. The best.
Yeah, he did the old school, and he did the tombstone.
And they did the double choke slam of Strowman through the...
Right, they put somebody through a table.
That was great.
Yeah.
And then we found out they store the Smash Announce Table underneath the ring.
So here's the thing. Here's what I think the problem with WWE is.
Okay.
I love Undertaker.
Yeah.
One of my certainly top five.
Oh, absolutely.
Wrestlers of all time. Definitely. I mean, definitely top five.
Yeah.
He may be my favorite.
Yeah.
All around. From the day he walked in that company 25 years ago.
Yeah.
They have done everything in their power to get him over.
Yeah.
He won all his matches.
Yeah.
He beats Hulk Hogan for the title within a year. He drops Dusty Rhodes on his gourd.
Yeah.
In a Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, heck, it's been years since I watched
25 it. Years.
You know, they used to take the older legends and use them to build the new guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it was with Undertaker, Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah.
King Kong Bundy.
Yeah.
Jake Roberts. All those guys they used for Undertaker to slay them.
Yeah.
Coco Beware, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan.
I mean,
you know what I mean? And Undertaker has won dang near every match he's had for 25 years. That's why when he comes out, he gets the reaction that he gets.
Yeah.
He should have lost that match.
At Survivor Series?
Maybe not. All right, that's like over. Like the 25th anniversary, I get it.
Right.
He needs to beat somebody. That's not what I'm saying. But that's why Bray Wyatt will never get to that level. Because who's Bray Wyatt beat since he's been in that company?
Nobody.
They haven't done anything
to
make you believe he's a legitimate threat.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that ultimately at the end of the day he doesn't lose to the babyface because that's what a heel does.
Right.
But if you don't invest some time in a guy to make him see, you and I we talked about Jaws the other day, and Jaws had to kill a couple of people to get over. Frankenstein had to kill a couple of people. Jason Voorhees had to kill a couple of people to get over. Freddy Krueger had to kill a couple of people to get over. Yes, ultimately at the end of all of those movies, the babyface wins.
Yeah.
But there are other lesser important babyfaces that have to die along the way.
That's right.
To get the heel.
That's right. So true.
So that when the babyface actually conquers them against all odds, mind you, not because the babyface is stronger or because the babyface is smarter or because the babyface is faster or any of those things. It's just at the end of the day, the babyface reaches down and finds that little bitty spark of reserve that makes them the babyface. And they come back and they have just that little last gasp effort where they defeat him. And WWE has in no way over the last 25 years invested that in anybody.
All right. Let me challenge you on that. John Cena.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question because everything you just said is 100% right, okay?
Uh-huh.
Not because you said it, because it's the truth, okay? Here's the thing. They did that with Cena, but Cena has been rejected. And I don't think Cena's been rejected necessarily because of the booking. There's just... Maybe it's just smart fans, because kids love Cena.
People are stupid.
People are stupid.
Let me just go ahead and I'm going to say that. Like, this idea that they gave Sheamus, who we don't, and when I say we, I mean the WWE fans, not necessarily me.
Yeah.
We don't like Sheamus. We don't want him to be the champion because we'll boo him.
Right.
Why didn't you make Kevin Owens a champion so we can cheer him?
Right.
Well, he's a bad guy.
Right.
You ain't supposed to cheer the bad guy.
Right.
You're supposed to boo the bad guy.
Right.
So if you, I really think that their idea was, let's make Sheamus a long-term champion.
Yeah.
And that way when somebody finally beats him, they won't be boos. They'll be cheers.
Yeah. Because they'll be so happy not to see Sheamus.
Be so happy not to have Sheamus anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And I just think that's their idea.
I did, you know, I guess there was, I didn't get to see it. There was a Legends Roundtable about Undertaker.
Yeah, there was.
And
it was, I mean, it wasn't that great. And but, you would think with JBL hosting, Steve Austin, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels, that it would just be phenomenal. But it really, it wasn't, man.
But
it
you're
wasn't
right.
That great.
They have spent 25 years convincing us that the Undertaker is a dead man with mystical powers.
Right.
In a day when the entire business has been exposed.
And people, like, they want to believe it.
They do.
They want to believe it. And they do believe it because they've given them a reason to believe, because Undertaker's going to win. And you're right. Have they, obviously, have they built John Cena up? That's true. I'm not.
Right.
But what I mean is, there used to be this philosophy that the older guys would reach down,
yeah,
bring the younger guys up,
yeah,
to the main event slot, and then put them over. And it's not happening anymore. Like, they're relying more and more on these, on just like we're here at a nostalgia show.
Yeah, yeah.
This weekend.
Yeah.
We're talking about other nostalgia shows that we've gone to, and that we do a nostalgia podcast.
I go back to something you got to meet, a guy that I met a couple times and connected with on Facebook, Scott Hensley, who is, uh-huh, a big wrestling fan and writes and promotes shows in Tennessee. He had a good point about Survivor Series. He was there. That there were a couple of really good pops, but everything you just said about they haven't created these new stars.
Right.
I mean, Kevin Owens is over not for anything that happened in WWE. Owens is over because people like Kevin Steen.
Right, right.
And I think Kevin Owens is over so much because he has broken the, whatever's happened, he broke the mold because he's done everything that they said couldn't be done.
Right.
That an outside guy,
bad hair, bad physique,
but that a guy from the outside has come in, changed very little about himself.
True.
And
really
made it quickly.
Not much more than he doesn't use quite as much profanity, and he changed his last name.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, why are they telling somebody like Chris Hero, hey, you got to trim up a little bit.
Right.
Just let the guy be himself. Like, that's what we're missing.
I mean, clearly, people are abandoning this product.
Right.
By the boatload.
I agree. Okay, so let's talk about that. People talk about the ratings, okay? The ratings are terrible.
Right.
And I do think the ratings are bad because of the product. I believe the ratings are bad just because I don't have 3 hours every Monday to watch Raw.
No.
But I think more people are watching DVR. People are watching the Hulu that's not being counted. So I don't know. I don't know how they're counting all that.
I don't either, but I just think they're a lot. Like, did you read Mick Foley's?
I read a little bit of it. Not the whole thing.
I mean, he's...
He's dead on.
Yeah, he's dead on, man. Like, he's ready to leave and stop watching WWE, and you know, and I am too, man. I'm just not interested in it. There's nothing. I watched Survivor Series. We went and saw it live, and I read what happened on Raw, and there was no interest on my part in watching it, and so I haven't even watched it on Hulu.
So it goes back to what we talked about earlier tonight, but that's going to be on a later episode, is this. We're not emotionally invested in any of these people.
Do what now?
We're not emotionally invested in any of these people. When that girl gets killed at the beginning of Jaws, you don't really care because you've known her for like just a couple minutes.
Right.
But when Roy Schneider, when you think he's about to die,
yeah,
you're concerned. You're hooked. And it's him and the shark, one-on-one.
Yeah, when Robert Shaw's character gets eaten.
Yeah, oh, man.
Which is, to me, and way off subject here, that scene when they're on the boat.
Yeah.
And he's talking about being on the USA. Yeah. I would put that up as one of the greatest scenes in movie history.
Without a doubt.
He gave me a reason to identify with.
Yeah.
With those three characters.
That he tells you, and even right after that, he's like, put on a life jacket. And he's like, I'll never wear a life jacket again.
Yeah.
And for him to die like he did in the movie,
right?
It's like his worst fear.
Yeah, and it's just, to me, there again, it's one of the greatest cinematic moments and scenes, whatever you want to call it, in movie history. Yes.
So let's go here. So because until
I don't want your belly button winking at me.
Until that scene in Jaws, you don't really like Robert Shaw. Right. He's kind of a jerk.
Right. I like him, but
then,
when he's like sitting there eating the saltine cracker.
And he does this.
Great. I love that movie.
I catch him for 10.
Yeah, that's like one of the. That's a perfect movie.
I bring him in for 15.
Yes, I love that movie, man.
But when they do the scene, and he talks about the Indianapolis, he hooks you.
Yeah,
you become. He goes from being a role player in this movie to someone you are emotionally invested in.
Right.
And even if he's a jerk after that, you still care.
Right.
What's going to happen to this guy?
Uh-huh.
And so when he dies, the first scene when he's eating the crackers, if you said that guy's going to die, I'd be like, good. I hope he dies.
I hope he does.
But when he dies, like, you're like, oh, because he's a real person. He's a layered, textured, three-dimensional character.
Right.
Name one of those on the roster right now.
Oh, there's not any. There's just not any.
No.
There's
nobody I'm emotionally invested in.
I want to say this about Roman Reigns winning.
Yeah.
That tournament. He did the deal where he cocks the fist early on in the match with Ambrose, and everybody booed.
Yes, they did.
I mean, I thought even it shocked me.
Yeah.
Because they had kind of been cheering him, and they had been with him up to that point. And then it was like, he's going to beat our guy. He does the deal, and the place turned on
him. Oh, yeah. It was bad.
And then it went away.
Yeah.
And by the time it was over with, and we talked about it because we were there.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about.
We're not telling tales out of school. We're not
telling things that we don't know. We were there. Like, there was a shift.
Yes. Where, you could feel it in the building.
Where, man, he became sympathetic.
Yeah.
There really was that. Regardless of you know, what the other people on the internet who make their money or whatever telling you stuff.
Yeah.
I felt it. I was there. I saw it. People were happy when he won, and then when he got screwed over. And I have actually heard people saying, why are they treating him like Daniel Bryan now? I thought he was their guy. And they're doing him just the same way they did Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Why can't they just give him the title? I heard some people. And I'm talking about educated wrestling fans.
No.
Saying that.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's, you know.
That's what you do.
Isn't that what you want? I mean, like, you care enough now.
I tried to explain it to somebody. I said, the money is in the chase.
Absolutely.
The worst part of any of the Rocky movies is the beginning of Rocky III. when he's just got these random.
When they were bums.
Yeah,
we
right.
Carried
when he's
you.
Just beating up the nobodies.
He's
yeah,
beating up the nobodies.
Nothing.
I'm going to be honest. We're very critical of WWE. I really believe, because I was at Survivor Series, I felt the. I really think 6 months from now, we're going to say, man, that deal with Sheamus was brilliant. Because it got him where they wanted to be with Reigns. I really think so.
I don't know that I'm ready to declare it brilliant. But I think, there again, I mean, I just think the idea is we'll give you something you really, really don't want.
Right, that's true.
And that way, when our guy wins, you'll be happy. I just think that's what it is.
Now, I do think... when Robert Shaw does the scene in Jaws, that's not Robert Shaw. That's Quint. Quint, whatever.
Right.
But with Roman Reigns...
Well, you know, he rewrote that.
Right.
Like, I mean, Robert Shaw did. Like, they gave him this long thing to say, and he just went in and started cutting lines out, and he rewrote it.
He made it his own.
Right, he rewrote it in his own voice.
And there's a talent to that. There's an art in that. There's a passion in that of making, becoming the character. And right now, I think they're wanting Roman Reigns to portray a character that he's not.
Right. Roman Reigns. They want him to be John Cena version 2.0, and he's not that guy.
Roman Reigns.
He's got to find his own voice.
Roman Reigns, deep down, is not the white meat babyface, I don't think.
No, I don't either. He just comes across as that Randy Orton type of guy that I'm...
But I don't want him to be a... Like Randy Orton, I agree, Randy Orton doesn't make a good... Like, to me, Roman Reigns should be the... Like, the way he was made to look against Brock Lesnar, even though I gave Reigns credit... for taking the beating like a man,
right,
and selling it, I think that was the wrong way to go. They should be booking Reigns like they booked Lesnar, like an unstoppable force.
Just right, this you keep those guys apart for a year, building them both up, and then when they finally have their clash, who's gonna win?
Right. Man. Oh, that would be.
What are you going to do? It's that ridiculous. That's why I don't watch WWE that much.
Yeah.
I watch so much indie wrestling now, so much old wrestling.
And NXT, it's an hour. We've said this before. The WWE marketplace is so oversaturated, and we're subjected to so many just snooze fest.
Speaking of snooze fest, I'm over here snoring.
Yeah, we're both just, it is
almost 2 in the morning.
It's late here.
You've been laid out in the bed for an hour and a half.
But I think for the most part, to sum up Survivor Series, it was a great experience.
Oh yeah.
I would say
I loved it.
Some pretty good matches on the card.
Right.
I remember most the cash in and the way they played up Reigns' victory and all the confetti and all that. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I thought it was a really cool over-the-top celebration.
And then The Undertaker. And then standing in line with guard sniffing dogs.
Yeah, bomb sniffing.
What did I say?
Guard sniffing. anytime you see the Department of Homeland Security walking around with
there's a guy with an M16 at a wrestling show.
Yeah, it was definitely different, but I mean, I'm glad we went.
And
I felt
safe
in our little small way, stood up to terrorism and refused to allow them to keep us at home.
Yeah,
I would never call me a hero, but I certainly wouldn't stop any of y'all from calling me a hero for going to a wrestling
you
show.
You know, they're gonna it's gonna stop being G.I. Joe, a real American hero. She's gonna say Mark, a real American,
a real American.
If listen, I'm of the opinion that if the schedule works out and there's a WWE pay-per-view, I don't go to Raw's. They're so long and there's so many. It's just as bad live as it is on TV.
Yeah, even worse, really.
But if there's a pay-per-view within 2 or 3 hours of us, it's like a must-go. It's a must-go, especially the 25th anniversary of Undertaker. So that's right. Just kind of how we feel about it. I'm interested. I want to have Drake on the show. He has seen WWE, Ring of Honor, and TNA all within the last few months.
Right.
And I'm just interested to get his opinion on, hey, you know, son, what do you like the best? What's good? What's bad? Because that's the... Because deep down, when you go wrestling, when that gong hit the other night, you were 8 years old. Well, not eight. You're 15.
Not eight, yeah. Which, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. So, hey, listen. Please, you can listen to our show as you're listening to it right now. But you need to tell a friend. DoubleDropKick.com, iTunes, The Double Dropkick Show, Stitcher Radio, Double Dropkick Show, the TuneIn Radio app. We're on there as well, I think. Hit that download button. If you got a mobile phone, you know, the podcast app, you can listen to it. There's a play. If you're on the website, mobile or desktop, there's a play button. You can just listen to it right there. Totally cool. We appreciate everybody's support, all your cards and letters and your tweets and comments on the website. Help us out and go to Facebook. We have the Double Dropkick Show page, which you can like, which would be awesome. And then we have a group where we do all our discussions. It's called The Wrestling You Grew Up With. It's a great group. We're all adults in there. Keep it clean. We have really good discussions there about, you know, what's happening in wrestling today, but a lot of old school stuff and just a variety of topics. We want to hear from you on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
Mark is almost asleep.
I actually did doze off while you were in the middle of talking.
Yes.
So if I had the microphone close and anybody heard me snoring, I apologize.
So listen, that's how much we love y'all. That's how much we love this show. That's how much we love this industry, if you will.
All right, shut up.
I'm just trying to keep Mark awake now. I'm just trying to tick him off.
I just want to lay down in a bed,
man. Yeah, so it's time to go to bed. It's WrestleCade 2015. I'm already making plans for WrestleCade 2016. Are you? So, hey, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.